as we look deeper into God's word, let's ask him for help. Father, as we look into your word, just seal the truths of it on our hearts. Let us know something more of your glory. Jesus' name. Amen. Benny was a luxury car salesman. He'd been in his current job for 5 years. He'd spent a lot of time and effort building up the store, so that it was thriving. Then he saw an old man outside the store looking in carefully. He was very plainly dressed, not like the customers Benny generally dealt with. But he couldn't do any harm looking at the cars from outside. The next day the old man came back to look at the cars, but this time he wanted to look at them more closely. He came into the store and spent much of the day browsing. Some of the customers commented, thinking he was not well enough dressed for the store. But Benny, who had to spend much of his time pleasing customers, some of whom were not all that nice and knew little about cars, was not going to oblige them. Instead, he asked the old man if there was anything he could help with, and offered him the complimentary water or coffee. The old man said no and continued browsing. This continued for a few days, and Benny grew to appreciate the old man. But then his boss, who owned the store, came. He saw the old man, looked at his clothes, decided he did not have the money to buy a car. And seeing Benny told Benny to ask him to leave. Benny tried to explain to his boss, but to no good, and then Benny hesitantly asked the old man to leave. The old man took it well and said something about always remembering his friends. When Benny went to tell his boss it was done, he'd already forgotten. But after this, the sales totally dried up. There were no customers. They could not get anyone to buy. So the boss had to sell the business at a very cheap price. He filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, despite having money still in the business, by some accounting mechanisms, meaning they would not get redundancy. They knew he had money there from previous sales. Needless to say, Benny and the other staff were not happy. They'd have to find work quickly. But the very next day, Benny got an email from a new boss who wanted to meet the old staff. Benny eventually decided to go, feeling nothing bad would come of it. And his mouth dropped when he walked into the new boss. He was in rich clothes. Unmistakably rich. But he was the old man who had got the dealership at a knockdown price. As he was very rich, had contacts, he'd disguised himself to assess the business for purchase, planning to buy it normally, but on being thrown out, responded by using his contacts to stop people buying until he could get the business. So he got it at a knockdown price, and the first thing he said to Benny was, "I told you, I remember my friends." So Benny didn't have to look any further for a job. The old boss, who was so mean to his staff and to the old man, got his comeuppances. The staff did not have to stay out of work. The old boss may have been manipulative in filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, but he'd come across someone better at winning such battles, and lost miserably. There were consequences he faced to treating the old man badly, but Benny benefited from making friends with him. And in the passage today, we see consequences for Isaac, Rebecca, and Jacob for their actions. We meet Rebecca's brother Laban, who manipulates Jacob. But we also see that Jacob gets to know the right person, that God's hand's upon him, and that Laban loses out. When God both teaches and aids Jacob, Jacob, in that, learns to relate to God. It's Jacob's relationship with God that counts. Now, last week we saw that Jacob cheated Esau out of both his birthright and his blessing. And Esau's angry, really angry. He's dwelling on it, wanting revenge, thinking he'll kill Jacob after his father dies. And he's not subtle about hiding it. His mother Rebecca finds out and is really concerned. So she comes up with a plan. She tells Jacob to go back to her brother and stay there until Esau comes down. Meanwhile, she tells Isaac that she does not want Jacob to take a wife from the surrounding people, like his brother has. So Isaac sends Jacob to Laban to get a wife. The fact that Isaac does not send a servant for him, as Abraham did for him, may mean that he's more awake to what is happening than he necessarily makes out, that he's more awake to the problems in the relationship between Esau and Jacob. Or that he does not have such a servant to trust. Or that having had an arranged marriage, he thinks it might be better for Jacob to arrange his own, or a combination of the above. But here, the going back seems not such an issue. Yet Isaac's instructions to Jacob emphasize how the blessing that God gave his father, Abraham, and passed on to him, now belongs to Jacob. Isaac knows this. Knows that this blessing, the blessing that from Jacob's descendants, they'll inherit the land that from his offspring will come. A blessing to all people. And in this, Jacob not taking a wife from the land's part of this. He says in 28 verse 1, do not marry a Canaanite woman. He wants Jacob to be pure. He cannot marry into a land that will be so judged for going its own way, it will be destroyed. Its peoples will be destroyed. He cannot be tainted by this land. If he's the one that God's blessing belongs to. And Jacob emphasizes God's blessing, pulling on Genesis 1, seeking for Jacob to avoid the issues that plagued both him and his father Abraham, of not having many children, having wives that were barren, and only having the blessing applied to one child. Verse 3. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples. Isaac takes God's instructions to mankind and applies them as a blessing to Jacob so that he'll bring forth a nation, become a community of peoples, bring forth several peoples. And then he extends it by fully repeating God's blessing to Abraham. May he give you and your descendants the blessing given to Abraham, so that you may take possession of land where you now live as an alien, the land God gave to Abraham. Now, while in the past God has simply repeated the blessing, and Abraham has told Isaac that this blessing has applied to him, probably before God told him, Isaac had looked to give it to Esau, despite the warning signs with Esau. Yet now, rather than continuing to go his own way, Isaac accepts God's decision. He trusts God. He passes this blessing to Jacob, emphasizing, even as he sends Isaac away to get a wife, that it is this land that his descendants will inherit. he may be a stranger here now, but this will belong to his line, his children, as we see, because from Jacob came the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, the Israelites who became the Jews. This is where Jacob belongs, even if he's treated as a stranger now. And we have to remember that because we value the things of God. We're strangers in this world now and will feel that way at times as God's character and values do not match this world. Yet when Jesus returns, this world will be ours. So we need to continue to represent God's character, God's values. Then Isaac sends Jacob on his way. Jacob goes for 21 years. Rebekah sends her favorite son away for 21 years. Isaac's without the one who inherits the promises for 21 years. And there aren't such things as telephones, let alone video access through Zoom or Skype calls. Neither of them will see or hear from him for 2 decades. That's the consequence particularly Rebecca faces for a role in the deception of Isaac. She's stuck with Esau, his Hittite wives, and no access to her favorite son. She suffers for a deception of her husband. So Jacob goes, and Esau realizes just how bad his taking wives from the Hittites is for his pet parents. So rather than apologize and talk it through with them, he decides to solve it himself. Takes one of the daughters of Isaac's half-brother, giving him not 2 wives but 3, as the text emphasizes. It does not suggest this would bring any improvement. It's a man-made solution, not a godly one. The contrast is what happens to his deceiver of a brother. Now, you may have noticed that while Jacob has inherited the blessing that God gave to Abraham and Isaac, up to now, there's been no recorded interaction between Jacob and God. Jacob wants the blessing of God, but does not seem to know him, and his behaviors reflected that. But now he's on a scary journey. Isaac sent him alone to Haran to Jacob's mother's brother, his uncle. He's sent without riches. We don't know why Isaac did not send him with riches, like the camels, the jewelry Abraham's servant went with. Maybe Isaac thinks to teach him how to live. After all, God's blessed Isaac. But Isaac presumes that God has caused Abraham to be blessed. He'll look after him. And that's what happens. But first, God becomes a part of Jacob's life. Jacob goes to sleep at Bethel and sees God in a dream at the top of a staircase. The staircase that, as we learn in John 1, Jesus is at the bottom of, that he comes to earth to make this salvation possible through the staircase to heaven, as relationship with God is through him. And God promises Jacob the same things he promised to Abraham, to Isaac, that he and his descendants will inherit the land where he's currently at, that his descendants will be like the dust of the earth, dust like the stars in the sky. In previous blessings, is too much to count. And that's the number of Jacob's descendants. But it's the last piece of the blessing that is again the most important in verse 14. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. Again, it leads us to Jesus, to the one who died that our sin might be forgiven. Because Jesus comes from Jacob's line, and it's through Jesus that we have salvation, that we're credited righteousness in God's sight. as Jesus died in our place, for all the times that we go our own way, that we reject, that we rebel against God, so that we might receive his righteousness through faith and have relationship with God. And God promises Jacob this relationship. He reassures Jacob that he will go with Jacob. He'll look after him. And God looking after you should be much more reassuring than an old man in a shop assuring you that he looks after his friends. Well, the car salesman found out that that was reality. We know God has the power and will do as he says. And here he says in verse 15, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I've done what I've promised you. God says he will stay with Jacob. He'll bring him back to land, will do all he's promised. But Jacob will not be alone on this trip. And Jacob responds to this, calling the place the house of God, Bethel, as it's here he found the gateway to heaven that we know through Jesus. And because of this, he responds to God. He makes promises himself. Jacob knows that he needs God and his protection. He's away from the security of his parents and home. He needs God to provide. And therefore, he responds in 28 verse 20. If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I'm taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. And the stone that I've set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you will give me, I will give you a tenth. Jacob responds. He now knows there is a God and responds to this God by looking to give back to him. He knows he needs God to provide. So he promises to give back a tenth of all God provides for him. It's not an idle commitment. He commits to giving back to God from what he receives. And that's how our giving should be. But that we give back to God from what we receive and are committed to it. But more important still is this response, this commitment. I remember when I was a non-Christian, I said to God, I don't know if you exist, but on the basis that you do, I will go to this talk. I knew it was after a chest tournament. I knew I would not feel like it. I normally had dinner with the chess players afterwards. But I went. Later that week, I was lazing around, still feeling miserable about a girl. And suddenly, I could sense the presence of God. And my response, my attitude, was to commit to him. Was, if he exists, and he's shown himself to me, I'd better follow him where he leads. I responded by putting my life in his hands. And at times, it's cost. I have given. I've had real highs, but also difficult times. Yet through it all, I have chosen to follow him and had great joy out of it. And that's the choice for all of us, to accept his provision, to give back to him from what we receive. And we have to be aware that at times, God will discipline us because he loves us. Jacob needs a fair bit of this. He comes to Laban, meets a girl he loves, Laban's younger daughter, impresses her by moving a stone that would normally take several shepherds to move. At the same time, demonstrates his knowledge of shepherding and sees the shepherds doing things they shouldn't. agrees wages with Laban, that he'll work for the younger daughter. He'll work 7 years for her. And we're told the time seemed light until the 7 years are up. And Laban tricks him at the wedding. The cheater, the deceiver, gets tricked. Laban gets him drunk, then gets the older daughter in bed with him. Using the veils, using the drunkenness. Because Laban cannot marry the older daughter. Apparently she's got weak eyes. And for them, the eyes were a really important part of the body. In terms of beauty, as when they were veiled, you can only see the eyes. And Leah's weren't considered up to scratch. However, Laban's clearly thought this through. He's got a solution. He wants 7 years more labour. And Jacob goes through with this as he must. Follows through the wedding, then marries the younger daughter immediately, and works another 7 years. Jacob, who's the younger, but replaced the elder, gets tricked by a man replacing the younger with the older, and then manipulated by Laban when he wants to go home. So he works longer. Laban knows God is blessing his sheep because of Jacob. But what you say for a man that sets up his daughters to be competing with each other? For one husband's love? I don't know. Here, Jacob also experiences some of God's discipline. Life's not easy. He's having to grow up. Having two wives is not easy, especially when he loves one so much more than the other. Yet, it's the unloved wife who bears children. Leah, who wants love so much, bears children, hoping to be loved for the children, but eventually stops trying to compare herself to Rachel, stops trying to be loved in comparison to her sister, and praises God for his children, 7, including 6 sons. Rachel eventually bears a son, removing her disgrace. The handmaidens come into this, and two children each. And Rachel asks for one more son from God. But then Laban says, when Jacob wants to go home, work for me for another 7 years. And Laban makes a deal where he thinks he's got a really good deal, because he gives Jacob all the white sheep, or all the one colored sheep, and then says, any speckled sheep that you get, you keep. I have the rest. He thought he'd got himself a really good deal, but Jacob would fail, forgetting that God's hand was on Jacob. As well as Jacob knowing more about sheep breeding than he did. And of course, God looked after Jacob, made him really prosperous, much of it at Laban's expense. The tricker gets tricked, and Jacob gets camels, donkeys, servants, as well as flocks. But also, Jacob's faced discipline, made him face how he felt when others cheated him, sees disputes in his own family. So he sees how his disputes in his family affected those around him. Jacob experienced some of the problems he'd caused his parents. While God's hand was on Jacob, and he saw this, he experienced God's discipline. And for us, at times, we should expect the same, because God disciplines those he loves. When we go through hard times, we grow like Jacob does here. And while most of us are not going to consider trials pure joy, we just don't. I don't. We remember that we, however, should, when we do that, remember that because God loves us, he does discipline us and is growing us in the character, in the values of his kingdom.